Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities.
Green is gold in this house. Green is gold.
That's right. Green is gold in this house. At the end of the last school year, I had the privilege of attending the Green is Gold Film Festival in Hangzhou, China, hosted by Hangzhou CIS. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Mandy and Ime, who contributed a film to this film festival about green energy. Also, quick shout out to Katie, another filmmaker from Hangzhou CIS, for her Cardi B adaptation that's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. I hope you enjoy the interview. Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Today, I have two students joining me from Hangzhou, China. I have Mandy and Ime. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
No problem.
I just want to start by asking you guys, how has COVID affected your school year this year?
Well, first of all, there is the very long period of virtual learning in the beginning of the year, and it was very different, in my opinion. I did find it a lot harder, mainly because it's kind of hard to concentrate when you're in a virtual setting because you're at home. You can, like, the bed is right there. It's very easy to just drift off in the middle of class, which is kind of unfortunate. And I don't know, it just didn't feel like you were connecting as well with the teachers. They seemed very distant. I didn't really know any of them. And it wasn't until, like, I actually got to meet them face-to-face till I really saw, like, wow, these are some great teachers. I can be learning so much stuff.
Yeah, aside from the really distracting factor, I guess that virtual learning has been really different as well because everything's just online and there's a lot of things you can't do, like, by hand. And it's just really confusing sometimes, especially, like, the exams, because it's all just online and it's pretty hard too.
You also spend a lot of time on the computer, so it, like, drains you a lot. You spend, like, most of your day just sitting on a desk looking at a screen, and a lot of times I'd have, like, headaches and things like that, which was also kind of challenging.
Yeah, and that makes, like, the whole day pass really fast and sometimes really slow. Like, the whole day, the school day has gone past and you feel like you still haven't done anything that day, and it's kind of just not very cool.
For sure. I think a lot of people are not in a hurry to continue with online learning and recognize just how much they enjoy being at school and the social aspects and the moving about and not being on a screen all day. Can you guys tell me about the program that your school does were in Hangzhou?
So basically, when students get to year 10, they have the option to go to Hangzhou and experience a boarding life there. So it's just, you're meant to spend a whole year there. The curriculum is different from what you would do if you stayed in Hong Kong. It's just a whole other experience, basically. Well, because of COVID, we couldn't exactly go for the whole year, so we only managed to stay for around 2 months, which was still really nice.
So this year, because of COVID, you guys had to do a long quarantine when you traveled from Hong Kong to Hangzhou. What made you choose to take that on? Like, that's a lot to do as a high school student, to think about doing a 3 week quarantine to come and participate in this program. What made you choose to go through that?
Well, first of all, it sounded really intimidating because, well, it's a 3 week long quarantine and your family's not around. But I think what made me do it was, well, first of all, the school, like, prepared it really well that we could have, like, another person quarantining with us. That made it a lot safer and a lot, like, so we actually had someone to talk to the whole time so we weren't that alone. And also that the quarantine was pretty nice itself.
I actually talked to my parents a lot about this decision on going to quarantine because I actually really wanted to go to Hangzhou, but then there was a question of whether it was worth it or not. But as Mandy mentioned, the school made it very safe. They planned out all the steps in the way, and I think our parents also trusted the school to get us there safely, I guess. And even then, there was, like, a lot of support. We had a lot of talks on it, and in the end, we all thought Hangzhou was probably worth it because no one wanted to spend another 2 months in virtual learning, and everyone, I think most of us, just wanted to go and see the city for ourselves, because for a lot of us, it's been something we've been looking forward to for, like, quite a few years already. That's true for me, I know that. And actually, quarantine wasn't as bad as I previously expected. Like, a lot of us came out of quarantine thinking I could stay another week there, because, yeah, it's not that bad as you would think.
What were some of the things that you learned going to a boarding school set up for this, even for a short amount of time, for 2 months? What are some things that you found were advantages of going to school in a setting like that?
I mean, first of all, it's like more responsibility. Even though like a lot of things are taken care of by like the CMs and teachers who have worked very hard, we still have to be in charge of a lot of our own things, that which we might have like helpers or parents to do. Even something like really simple as taking our clothes down to the laundry. I know a lot of people might not do that at home. A lot of small things. And a second thing is that we spend a lot of time with our peers and with our teachers. Like, we were living with our teachers as well, so we got a lot closer with all of them. We share a lot of things. Like, when we have problems, we can talk to them, and it just feels really different. It's really hard to explain.
I completely agree with the responsibility factor, because I missed my laundry quite a bit of times, and there's a lot of things that you need to control yourself, and there's no one around to take care of it for you. So it's all up to you, and you just grow up a lot more because, well, it's all up to you now.
All right, I want to switch up and talk a little bit about the film festival that you guys were part of. I was really lucky to get to be part of the audience and saw some pretty amazing films. Can you guys tell me about how that all came about? How did the idea to do a film festival come together?
Well, the film festival was Mr. Pollock's idea. I think it's been going on for a bit, or it's the first one. I think it's the first one, but I think the Green is Gold video for us, like the video idea for us, it was actually Ime's idea. So yeah, Ime, you could.
For the video itself, I didn't really know what to do at first, actually, because we were just talking about it and we're like, oh, what if we make a song? Because I feel like it's more interesting if we like use a different format. Because from a previous video that I made, it was explanatory video where it's just like a narrator talking, there's some visuals, and it's kind of boring. It's not exactly boring, but it's not the most entertaining. So that's where the rap battles started to come in. And then I was thinking, we had the entire Geely visit to quote-unquote inspire us and help us make these videos, and I thought that a lot of people, like, it kind of didn't appear a lot in our videos, so I was like, perhaps we could draw inspiration on that, because it was quite an interesting visit. So that's where the second aspect of the video came in, is like making it, like basing it on the experience of having Julie come and talk to us about their company and their cars.
That's really
also
cool.
Also, Mandy's right. Jar, so here's the drawing.
Also, the drawings were Mandy's.
Yeah, but Ime also colored them.
Definitely some good teamwork happening here.
Have a listen to the amazing rap battle from Mandy and Ime's video. You can find the entire video linked in the description on the Inspire Citizens Futures Media page.
Today's Green is Gold is going to be a little more special. Introducing Not Geely Employer, who has been working in the field of EVs for many years.
Hello guys, I am, as you know, a representative of Not Geely, and today I'm going to tell you about how EVs are the future of transportation. So does anyone know anything about EVs?
Yeah, they suck!
Okay,
child!
Do you even know what you're talking about?
First of all, who would want an EV before it even blinks? They're low on battery. Look around and all you see are gas stations. They can't find a place to charge all imagination.
Now all of your points are simply irrelevant. Transport accounts for a fifth of all carbon spent. Killing our planet, is that what it's worth? Which really put convenience over the earth? Sure, one ICE emit 5 tons of CO2, but EVs don't emit it all, coming to the rescue.
If you think that's all, you better think twice. They take hours to charge and cost double the price. And saying sustainability just won't suffice. We all know batteries need to be charged. Source of electricity you disregard. Worldwide, most energy is from fossil fuels. When charging batteries, it's all non-renewable.
Not all countries depend upon fossil fuels. Places like Belgium generate with renewables, keeping their emissions 4 times less than ICEs. Just look at this graph, it shows so clearly that EVs are better. Everyone can see.
Did you know that batteries can be recycled? Made of lithium, not something to be trifled. They break down, turn into trash in a mere decade. Polluting our ground, or that's how poison is. We love to say they're recycled, shredded or separated. But it is ineffective, long-winded, and complicated. Only 2-5% are recycled, as you say. The rest are all dumped and all thrown away. What a price the earth has to pay.
About the batteries, we're going their capacities. Ever improving the production and the factories. researchers and scientists working hard, finding new materials safe to discard.
Make a car, raw materials are extracted, refined, transported, then assembled. Manufacturing an EV causes up to 70% more carbon emissions than a goddamn ICE. How can you still talk about sustainability?
Yes, EVs take slightly more to manufacture, but give it a few years and ICE cars would be slacker. Years ago, they were slower than the target. Now they're one of the fastest in the market, all thanks to the cool electric motors, less parts, easy maintenance, and happy owners.
So what made you guys decide to use the animation when you were producing your video?
Both of us were really into drawing, I think. So I guess animation was kind of the most interesting way we could think of, because doing a rap battle like face to face, well, I'm kind of shy to acting. So I think animating was the best way around.
Then we can't really get like a fake Julian Flair to go back on the stage.
Yeah, that too.
Have you guys ever written a rap before? Or is this something new, something you're just getting into for this video?
No, I was actually surprised that it worked out well, because I don't know if Manny's done anything like this, but I've never done anything like this.
Yeah, I haven't done any rap ever, so this was my first time.
No, we just tried to cram like all the points into like 2 minutes. That was kind of hard, but I don't know how it worked in the end, but it worked in the end.
You guys mentioned earlier that you'd done some video work before, but it was more informational. And this time you decided to incorporate the animation and the rap battle. How do you think that makes your message more engaging for your audience?
I guess the battle part means that there's conflict, and like conflict something you really want in a video to make it more interesting, because people are drawn to conflict. And then for the rap battle, the rap part is because, well, a lot of people are using rap, and I think rap for us, it's easier than singing and better than a plain talking video.
I also think that like, since there's a student in the video, a lot of like students who watch it could see themselves or their classmates in the place of that student. Because one thing that I noticed during the Julie visit was that the Julie employer focused a lot on other stuff other than like sustainability portion of electric vehicles. They talked a lot about like the AI, the comfort of the vehicle, and it just felt a little off to me. Like they were advertising their cars instead of talking about how electric vehicles are better for the environment. I don't know if that's what they were meant to do, but it just felt kind of off. And whenever someone brought up the sustainability issues related to EVs, whether it was like how they were harmful or how they were beneficial, they kind of brushed over the issue and didn't go into depth. So that's what I was trying to incorporate into the video, was like having the student challenge the Julie employer, as I kind of heard some students like in the actual thing doing a little.
Yeah, I think you guys did a really good job in the video highlighting kind of both sides. Like it's not a one-way street, I guess. There are both good points on the pro side as well as the con side. Why do you think that we sometimes only focus on one of those? We only maybe focus on the pros or only focus on the cons. Why is it that we don't often get a balanced picture?
I think because when you face an issue, like most times, like very often you're biased. No matter you believe it or not, you're actually just biased towards one side. And the reason you tend to focus on like believe one side or see one side is because you tend to only look at that side, the side that you're facing towards, like the side that you're happy about.
Maybe one side has something that you want but maybe aren't completely aware of. For example, people who are too lazy to maybe change to electric vehicles don't want to acknowledge all the pros of it and only focus on how it's bad. But people who might be hearing a lot of good things about electric vehicles and have already made the switch and have always been like championing it, suddenly with faced with all these cons are kind of taken aback and don't want to admit them. So I think that's also maybe a reason. And just preconceived notions, a lot of like stuff that we already know from before, it's hard to change these notions because it's just, this is how we've been thinking. It's difficult. It's something people do as humans.
What made you guys choose to focus on electric vehicles? You could have focused on different aspects of renewable energy. What drew you guys to the topic of electric vehicles?
It's because, well, we had a video before this, and for that video, both me and Yime, we focused on solar panels, I think. So we wanted to switch up our topics and choose something else. And electric vehicles has not only been the main focus of our unit, but also electric vehicles have been like a new thing in the market, and they're like the future. of vehicles, so that's really intriguing, and we wanted to like dig in more.
I feel like we've also learned a lot more about renewable energy. There's a lot more exposure to that side, and not other than this year, we've never really talked about electric vehicles, so it was something new to look into as well.
What was the biggest challenge for you guys putting your film together for the film festival?
Time, I think, for me, because I was cramming at the last few days before the due date. Coloring actually takes time. I know that this seems like Manny drew most of the things, but it actually takes time, because writing a rap takes more time than writing a script where you just talk and explain things. So that took a good portion of our time. And then we had to color and draw everything, which was kind of stressful.
Yeah, especially with the time limit going on, even though we asked for an extension, I think the coloring and the animating part was actually a lot more difficult than the rap part itself. So yeah, that's something to take note of.
So when you guys were at the film festival and seeing some of the other films and seeing your film up on the screen there for like a live audience and a virtual audience, what were you most proud of?
First of all, it's on there, you know? There's a lot of videos to choose from, and it's on there. And I think it just shows the perspectives very well. I think that's what I'm most proud of. Maybe Maddie can add.
Well, it's on there, so that's something that I'm proud of. And then second of all, I think I was proud of the coloring part and just like the whole visual aspect of it, because that part was the part I was mainly in charge of. And the rap part was also really funny as well.
What additional skills did you guys acquire through this that you might not have been able to use if you were just writing a research paper about green energy?
I guess it was mainly the conflict part, like, again, the two sides and how we were able to learn more about both sides of the issue and which sides, like, what's important about the whole thing.
Also just making things engaging, you know? A research paper is boring. You just write boring things. It's something we're used to. Now you have to cram all this information into like a rhyming rap and make it work, which was a little something we've, as we mentioned before, haven't done before.
What advice might you have for teachers who might be listening to our podcast who would typically assign a research paper for a project like this, and they're thinking, hey, this film festival idea sounds kind of cool? What advice would you have to kind of get that off the ground at their school?
I think, first of all, just the entire concept of creating a more creative video is good, because it allows students to communicate their ideas in ways which you can't really do with an essay, and it makes them think more as well, because you have to think about, like, how do I present this in a better way? And it's just skills that you wouldn't use in a research paper, and we've all written too many research papers anyway, so the first step is to go for it. And don't limit your students to like a certain format or anything, because that just kind of ruins the entire creative process.
I think letting the creativity flow is the best part of it. And it's something we really should do more, because it's fun for the students and for the teachers, because I'm pretty sure the teachers wouldn't want to look at a lot of research papers like all day.
How are you guys going to use what you learned through this experience for your last couple of years of high school?
I think the information part of it. Well, now I know a lot more about electric vehicles, because before this unit, I pretty much knew nothing about them. So now I have a lot of knowledge on it. I think this could be something I could use further on in like further like sustainability or an environmental related topics or units in school.
I think in this video, what I really liked is how we laid out both perspectives really well and made them balance. And as well, in the end, we made the decision of adding a conclusion and an analysis of all the points. So like, it kind of wraps everything up, and like, it also doesn't tell you like what to think, and it allows the watchers to make that decision themselves. And for the rest, if I ever do something like this again, where it portrays a controversial issue, I wish to do the same thing and also end the entire project with like a note that isn't just leaving a bunch of facts to the watchers and also has some kind of conclusion, but also doesn't like tell them what to think and stuff. Unless it's like a, I don't know, persuasive essay or something, in which case I can't really do that. We're bound to tackle some controversial and important topics in the future. And I think the approach we took to this one was really something that I'm proud of.
Other than this, we also had to learn about like biases in another class. So I think that, again, attached to the perspectives part of it, is like really important when we're looking at issues later on, whether it's from the news or anything, like about climate change or policies or stuff like that. I think perspective and bias is really important.
When you were doing your research, how are you conscious of bias? And when you're looking at your sources, how are you able to determine what was a reliable source?
First of all, we would look at a lot of information sources other than just from one. So we would receive like different sources of information. And second of all, we would just note like for reliability and for which ones are most trusted and which ones are less biased overall.
Yeah, because some websites were kind of like, you could tell if they were like advocating for or against electric vehicles. Some of them were like quite obvious in that. And so in that case, if there was a fact that seemed like, whoa, that might be off, then we would like, or I would go like search it up to see if it was true, then see if there's anything that corroborates it and make sure that that's like not just a figure that they threw out.
You guys mentioned as well the visit you had with Geely, who sounded more like a sales pitch than balanced information. And you guys touched on that earlier as well. I just want to circle back to, you mentioned one of your biggest challenges was time. How do you guys find balance as high school students to get your work done and still find time for yourself?
Good question. I'm still looking for the answer to that. So not really sure, but I guess finding time is just something we all need to learn about, because time is precious and it's hard to find. And with everything around us, I think we need to just take a time and like Ime's peach thing. I think we need to just stop and give a moment to ourselves to take a rest and take a break.
Yes, and stop and pick the peaches.
Yeah.
That was a great quote. Anyways, a piece of advice my sister gave me in time management, which I feel like sharing, is you should plan everything out. Okay, and then once you see everything in front of you, then you can decide what's the most important and what you want to put your time in. Because, for example, you don't want to waste a lot of your time working on some key reflection that you don't really feel that's that important. You want to put your time into something you care about, and then you're not overwhelmed with things, basically. And I think that's a tip that I am not currently following, but it could be very helpful, because a lot of times I am panicking a lot because I can't manage my time that well.
It is a challenge, I think, for students as well as adults to manage time. It can be a little overwhelming sometimes. What impact do you want your video to have on your audience?
I think because of the two sides and the different perspectives to the issue, we would want them to like see the different sides to the issue and just think more before they decide which side to follow, and just think for themselves. Think it through.
And also, we mentioned how there's like a lot of things that can affect whether electric vehicles are good or bad, per se. So they could, I hope that this video would encourage them to do more research into if they're wanting to buy an electric vehicle, into like what brand they're buying, whether it's just to be more conscious in general, to know if it's worth it or if it's a good idea, or are they just following the flow and not really knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, our main message is to not follow the flow and think for yourself.
I like it. Is there anything else you guys would like to add before we wrap things up?
Advice for the teachers, if they want to do this unit, give the students a lot of time, because struggles are hard. Yeah,
this is a cool project. You know, I think the students should have the time to consider and plan it out and make something like really something that they're actually proud of, which you might be like, if you're short on time, you have to rush things, you have to cram things, and you end up with something that you might not like that much, or it might not show fully what you can do. So I think that's a good point.
Thank you both so much for taking time out of your summer holiday to join me on the podcast today. I really appreciate getting a chance to meet both of you and having your perspective on such a cool project that you guys did at school. So thanks so much for being here with me today.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Green is gold in this house. Green is gold in this house. Green is gold in this house. Green is gold in this house.
If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter at ScottJ_onWheels. Or you can find out more about Inspire Citizens on our website, inspirecitizens.org. Thanks for listening.